everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is one of the country's most sought-after motivational and inspirational speakers. His mixture of side-splitting humor and powerful insights on living, quote, fully alive, have inspired audiences around the world. With a movie by this same name, now a popular Netflix attraction, and award-winning author of over 12 books, his latest, Lighten Up and Live, 90 Lighthearted Devotions to Brighten Your Day. My next guest continues to bring true life and laughter to those that need it most. Would you welcome to Testimony for part one of our two-part conversation, a great joy indeed, author, speaker, filmmaker, and founder of Lighten Up Ministries and Ken Davis Productions, a KHCS favorite for over 20 years, comedian Ken Davis. Ken, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much. I can hear the applause of your listeners even over here. That's marvelous. What a great introduction. Thank you.
Well, wonderful. It's so well deserved. Ken, I just recently watched your, quote, Under the Influence DVD that you performed at Dr. David Jeremiah's Shadow Community Church, and I could not stop laughing. But before we get to all of this, in part one of our two-part conversation today, Ken, and your latest great read, Lighten Up and Live, would you begin to tell the story behind your story, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and also, Ken, how you have been able to overcome life's challenges when other comedians, sadly, case in point, Robin Williams, was not. Ken, please tell us that story.
Yes, I'll start with your first question, and I will allow you to interrupt if I go too long on that to make sure we get to the second one. But the first question on how I came to faith in Jesus Christ is really in two parts. The first part is I made the step of faith to profess Christ as my Savior as a very, very young man. I actually reached a point when I was about 17 or 18, and I guarantee you that I was a believer in Christ, but I could not remember the exact time. So at about that time, I remember kneeling by my bed and really telling the Lord that if I haven't made this clear before, Lord, I put my faith and trust in you and believe in what Jesus did on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Now, I believe that happened much earlier, and I think I remember it was at camp. If you knew me well, you would know that I started out with a very poor memory, and as I have aged, it has gotten worse. So, as a young person, I came to know faith in Jesus Christ. But let's take another look at what faith in Jesus Christ means, maybe with a little bit of a different definition. This has been a journey. And I just spoke to a group of men this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I talked to them about the bottom line of what it is to really know faith in Jesus Christ. And, of course, accepting Him as your Savior is important. But until we really understand how much He loves us, in spite of the failures that we do, in spite of the ups and downs in our journey, I'm not sure that our salvation is complete. Don't misunderstand me there, but I'm not sure our faith is full until we understand the full depth of His love. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection.
So are you saying, Ken, that it can't just be head knowledge, but the person receiving Jesus has to have a true heart transformation? And if that's a yes, what was your heart transformation?
Yeah, that is true. That is really true. But that heart transformation, I think, really begins when we begin to understand the depth of His love. As a little boy, I was bullied in school on a constant basis. I was a skinny little guy. I had curvature of the bone in both of my arms. I couldn't play in any sports. And again, I'm telling you that I believe I was a believer, but I thought that my only value, the only way I could please God and please people around me was to be an athlete. Well, to make a long story short, that's never going to happen. I taught my wife to play golf, and she beats me all the time. The Lord has a tremendous sense of humor. He gave me an intensely competitive spirit and absolutely nothing to back it up. And then as I went through high school, there's a story I tell in the book about a teacher, a blessed, wonderful Christian teacher who I thought was going to expel me from school because of the language I was using, trying to impress my friends in one of her classes. And instead, she made me stay after school and told me that God had given me a gift, and that rather than using it to destroy her class, she was going to make sure that I developed it and hope that I used it to glorify him. And so she made me go out for humorous interpretation speech contests.
Wow.
And I won just about every contest I entered there, still then leaning on those victories and that attention I was getting. And God used all of this. This is the amazing thing about our Savior. He used all of that to begin to build this talent. I spent some time in Hollywood trying to do some television shows. I was headlining in comedy clubs all across the country. And once again, taking my eyes off the love of God as what gives us value and trying to gain acceptance and worthiness by my performance. I told the men this morning that I recount the story in my book Fully Alive of losing my little granddaughter in the mountains at 10,500 feet. She walked away from a campsite.
Right.
She was 4 years old, one of the sweetest little girls you'd ever want to meet, and she walked away from the campsite looking for me. And we were in abject wilderness, and she was rescued after hours and hours of absolute terror, and after I found myself on my face, unable to move because I had run so far and called so often, I found myself on my face praying to God, saying, "You can have everything. You can even take my life, Lord. Just please bring this baby back." I have a picture of our reunion. I am holding her hands, and people often ask me what I was saying there as I knelt on the ground and looked into her face. And I tell them that what I was saying to her is, "You are a bad girl. You are a bad, bad girl. You did the wrong thing." And, of course, people know that isn't even close to being true. I didn't even say, "How many times have I told you you have to stay by the campsite?" The only words that would come from my mouth were these: "I love you." I said it over and over. I choked out with a voice that was gone, "I love you, I love you. Jaden, I love you."
Wow.
And as I said those words, at age 63, I believe it was, I heard those words echo from somewhere else like I had never heard them before. "And I love you."
Wow.
And my initial response has always been, probably because I was raised in such a strict background, but my initial response would have been, but I went off the trail for a while. I love you. I love you. We'll go from here. But I've made some mistakes in I love you. But I can't play football, you know. And that was confirmation so late in life, a new opening to his love. And to tell you the truth, I don't believe we will ever, our faith, not our salvation, please understand me, my salvation is secure. But my faith will be fully clear when I see him face to face and for the first time understand the depths of his sacrifice and his love.
Amen.
So that's
amen.
Kind of a double answer to your question. I came to faith, I really believe, early as a child. God's still teaching me every single day how much he loves me.
Well, it seems obvious that God has had his hand on you in a mighty way. You were bullied. That's a big problem in our society today. You had some physical challenges. You grew up in a strict home. I understand your father was a POW, and I imagine he brought some of that home with him to add to the family environment. Can you talk about how that affected you and your family in general?
Yeah, the strict part was basically as how it related to our faith. I'll give you a couple of stories. My father, by the way, was a dear, loving man. He was not, as you might think, we did not live in a military kind of disciplined family. He was just, there were rules, and you did not break the rules, but it wasn't as though he were cruel in any aspect of the word. However, there are stories that I will tell you. Number one, my father had a very difficult time saying, "I love you." I think that was true of much of this generation. Their definition of love was to put a roof over your head, stay with mom, make a good living, provide everything you needed, and that's the way they expressed their love. But I grew up as a young man desperately wanting to hear my dad say, "I love you," to show me physical affection. This was very, very difficult for my father to do.
Wow.
I wrote him a letter one time after I had received an award. I remember writing it on an airplane, just sobbing, saying, "You know, Dad, all my life, all of that I have tried to achieve, so much of it is to know that you are proud of me and that you love me." And if you think that through, it relates to what we talked to before, because in a way, I projected my father onto the image of God. And he was such a wonderful man, but he had a hard time, and he didn't answer my letter. I remember going to visit them, and I was angry. All I could think about was, "It's just a letter. Could you just write back and say I am proud of you?" And we walked in the house. My mother quickly ushered me into my dad's bedroom. He was in the back working on some of the mechanical things that he was so, so good at. And she said, "I want to show you something." And there was an entire wall of his bedroom plastered with newspaper articles, pictures, anything that I had ever accomplished, he had saved. And he had made a frame and placed in that frame the letter I had written him from 30,000 feet.
Wow.
And I collapsed on the bed, realizing maybe for the first time that this wall was screaming what my father couldn't say. This wall was screaming, "I love you, son." And I learned two things that day. Number one is sometimes we have to be willing to read between the lines to hear what we want to hear. And that was my dad's way of communicating.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to comedian Ken Davis. His latest great read, Lighten Up and Live, can be found on kendavis.com. We're going to hear more from comedian Davis next week as he shares in depth his devotional and how it can truly brighten your day in love, in life, and in the Lord. Ken, thank you for being with us on Testimony. We look forward to speaking with you next week. God bless you.
Thank you. It's been great to be with you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the compelling story of a man whose side-splitting humor is known the world over and whose seminars and conferences are jam-packed with participants listening for any ray of hope to get them through their days and their lives.
With a successful 30-year career in comedy, award-winning author of over 12 books, a movie called Fully Alive, and his latest devotional, Lighten Up and Live, what is the message our next guest wants to impart to you? Would you welcome back to Testimony for part two of our conversation, a real honor indeed, syndicated radio host of Lighten Up, founder of Lighten Up Ministries, author, conference speaker, and so much more, comedian Ken Davis. Ken, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you. It is great to be back with you.
Well, it is great to have you. Ken, in part one of our segment last week, you shared your journey of faith briefly in Jesus Christ. For this segment, Ken, I want to get to the specifics of your latest great read and how it can truly help, in your view, and yes, even heal the reader. Or as the scriptures state, a merry heart doeth good like medicine to the bones. Your writings and DVDs certainly do that, and exceedingly more. So, Ken, let's get right to it. You are syndicated on over 1,500 outlets around the world. Your recently released devotional, Lighten Up and Live, is sure to be a blockbuster hit. Why do you feel called to the, quote, Lighten Up message?
Well, you know, someone, partly because of what you said about laughter being a good, a great medicine, but also because we live in a world that is desperately in need of hope, and I'm not sure that we can deliver the message of hope, you know, with a face that looks like we swallowed a profusely sweating amphibian of some kind. Someone defined humor this way. They said humor is a gentle way to acknowledge human frailty. Now, certainly we hear today humor that isn't gentle or proper or anything like that, but when it is done right, it is a gentle way to acknowledge human frailty. What a marvelous picture of a tool that allows people to look at something that they aren't usually willing to look at. Is not faith that same direction? I mean, we don't come to God and say, hey, I've got it all together. You know, I've cleaned up. Let's start a relationship. What we really do is come to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not right. Yeah, there was a book written years ago. The very first video I put out was based on that book. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. I made a video entitled I'm Not Okay, You're Not Okay, But That's Okay. And the reason is because God loves us anyway. So I have seen over the years, almost 40 years now of doing this, I have seen people who had stubborn, hard, cement-like hearts have those hearts softened for the message of God's love by laughing until they needed medical attention. That's my desire, actually, is to cause people's ribs to hurt so bad they need to be bandaged.
That's hysterical. I've watched your DVD I mentioned in the last segment, Under the Influence, and you talk about whose influence are we really under. You talk
That's
about
right.
marriage and life experiences, and you just break it down to things that you've been through in your own life. And to me, what I think is just genius humor, Robin Williams was phenomenal, yet
right.
his life ended so tragically, and
right.
he took his own life. How does that happen, Ken? And what about your brand of sense of humor resonates with the audiences?
Yeah. Well, I think that happens. Your first question is, how does that happen? I think it happens much the same as my the beginning of my journey, where we're looking in all of the wrong places to find our own personal worth and value. And if there's one place where one probably feels more intensely lost than any other place, it is when you have reached the pinnacle of fame and power and money, and your heart is still empty. I really believe that as believers in Christ, we ought to be the happiest people on earth, because we have the only logical answer to why life is worth living. And if that's true, then we need to lighten up and share that message with other people. Not everybody's like me. You know, I had a guy, one of my favorite stories is the guy that had a heart attack in one of our shows. We had 4,000 people there. this guy went into the aisle and started rolling around, and I thought he was just goofing around, so I stepped to the edge of the stage and began to kind of interact with him. Well, he wasn't interacting, and blue is not a good color for a human, by the way. And so someone called 911. We waited for the paramedics to get there, and they worked on him right there, got him breathing again, took him out the back door. Well, you can't, by the way, you cannot continue doing a comedy concert. You know, there's no way you can go, okay, two alligators walked into a bar. It's not going to work.
Right.
It's over. So we refunded all of those tickets, and I wrote to the man and apologized for what I had felt been my part in his illness. And he responded this way. He said, "Do not apologize for this heart attack." He said, "I have had 4 heart attacks. I want to thank you for the best heart attack I ever had." My desire is to open the heart, not so that it will be attacked, but so that it will be enveloped with the love of God. And we have experienced that over and over and over again. And we have the only hope. We have the only hope. I had the privilege of meeting Robin Williams. He was one of the kindest, gentlest people on the face of the earth. He was a genius when it came to comedy. He used language that I don't use. He explored subjects I don't explore in my comedy.
Right.
But I really believe that if he had known how much God loved him, not only would he have been a better performer, but he might be here today. I can't say for sure. I just know that there is, when we fully grasp the love of God, there is a hope that comes to life that can't be found with any award, with any bank account, with any accolades from human beings. I've been there and done that. I've experienced a little of what Robin Williams experienced. See, this is another thing. I just got to say this. I've got to say this for your listeners. I will never stand in front of an audience again and pretend that this journey that we take is just one continual joyful climb toward eternal life. As human beings, we slip, we fall. The beautiful part is that's exactly why Jesus came. He's there for your listener today that feels like he could never get back to complete relationship with God, or she, because of something that's happened in their life, something they've done. God's love is way bigger than anything you can do, and he waits at any moment to take you and say, "Come on, let's go from here. You're forgiven. You're free. I'm here to empower you."
Amen and amen. You know, I'm reminded of that scripture, the joy of the Lord is our
Absolutely.
Strength. So if someone asks you, Ken, you're a comedian, it's easy for you, but not for me. I'm negative in my thought patterns. I've had a lousy life. How can I get this joy? What do you say to them?
Well, I think that there's and you'll have to forgive me. Again, you're dealing with an older man who remembers scripture but has a hard time pulling up the references again. There's a marvelous verse in the scriptures that talks about the things that we should think about. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report. And I think our tendency, especially in our culture today, is to do just the opposite. And here again, you may never air this, but I'm going to make a confession. One of the areas that I have to work on, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
As a comedian, as the author of Lighten Up, is to think positive thoughts. We had our conversation a week ago about my upbringing. There was always that thought, I'm not good enough, I've failed, I can't do this. That tends to be the first thought that comes my way. So to your listeners, I would say this. You have to rebuke Satan. That comes from the pit of hell, those kinds of thoughts.
Amen.
We were created, number one, in the image of God. That's a good start right there. Second of all, God chose to see all of our faults and still send his son to die for us. Our worth isn't determined by how much we can do or even how many times we go to church or how good we can be today. Our worth was determined on a rugged cross a long time ago. And it was solidified by a Christ who walked from the grave to give us power to step above what we couldn't do yesterday to do better today. Now, I'm not sounding very much like a comedian. I'm not being very funny. But I will tell you this, that it is that knowledge that frees me to laugh so hard sometimes that stuff shoots out my nose.
Well, I have to say, in watching you, your DVDs and
And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to comedian Ken Davis, author of his latest book, Lighten Up and Live, 90 Lighthearted Devotions to Brighten Your Day. Ken, in watching you, your brand of humor just flows out of you so naturally. You're so easy to listen to, easy to watch. You're transparent. You're just real. And you talk about complex issues in a very simple way. So in our remaining moments here, what do you hope your ministry will accomplish, number one? Where can people get your book, Lighten Up and Live, number two? And for those that have a pattern of thinking negatively and suffer from depression, what, in your view, is the answer for them?
Okay. Even we in Christian radio sometimes, in Christian television, and we tend to be so tensed up and bunched up and against, and certainly we have to make stands all along the way. And part of the reason that Lighten Up is on 1,500 stations around the world, I think, is it starts from a little brighter place. So my desire is that folks will be excited about maybe starting their day with something positive and fun. And by the way, this answers question number two. I have a website, www.kendavis.com, where all of these materials can be purchased, where some of the videos can be seen. If you check me out on YouTube, you can see the kind of work I do across the country. But Lighten Up can be purchased on that website. It can be purchased, I think, on Amazon. We would love to have you come to our website, because every Monday we do a Lighten Up Monday, which is a video clip of myself or another comedian who loves Christ sharing the good news. So that really is my prayer. And beyond that, I'm hoping that as I close out my life, I'm not going to ride slowly into the sunset. I want my life to be an example of a person who determined that eternal life started the day that I trusted Jesus, and I'm living with the power that brought Christ from the grave until the day my chest breaks the tape and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to comedian Ken Davis, his latest great read, Lighten Up and Live. You can learn more about Ken's ministry by going to www.kendavis.com. Ken, thank you for being with us today on Testimony. Your ministry, your life is inspiring millions. God bless you.
Thank you. It was great to be with you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.